A wild, wild weekend. Week 8 of the Major League Rugby season had a little bit of everything from unexpected results to some big time performances. On this episode of the Fantasy Rucker Show, we break it all down. We also dish out some mid-season awards, of course, talk a little bit of waiver wire, and look ahead to what's to come in Week 9. The Fantasy Rucker Show starts right now.
Where rugby and the world of fantasy sports collide. Welcome to the Fantasy Rucker Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, talking all things rugby from the MLR to leagues around the world. We're on top of it. Headphones on, pads off. This is the Fantasy Rucker Show. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Yee, Matt Yee, and Devin Vanderpool.
What's up, everybody? This is episode number 105 of the Fantasy Rucker Show. Thank you so much to our Fantasy Ruckers League members, our community members, and everyone else tagging along on this journey of making fantasy rugby a reality in the MLR with you each and every single week. Matt Yee, Devin Vandy Vanderpool, I am Ryan Yee. And boys, like I said at the top of the show, it was a wild, wild weekend. From crazy fantasy performances to some unexpected results that we got to give Vandy his flowers to, which we'll do in just a second here. It was a fun week 8 here in Major League Rugby, especially when it comes to fantasy MLR circles. But boys, week 8, it was a fun one.
Good one.
Week 8, we made it halfway through the season, and I didn't know the league was trying to climax halfway through the season, but but hey, we got another 8 to go, and I'm just hoping every 8 after it is just like this.
You know what? I don't want to just skip over week 8, but I hope in week 9 I don't get the most points put up against me again. 3 weeks in a row is nice and all. 200 points against above Ryan's cool, but all right, boys, I get it. I talk a lot of crap. I get it. I'll tone it down a bit.
How many
Fantasy
points?
Universe is trying to tell you something there, Vandy.
how many points you put up here in week 8, Vandy?
I put up 95.7.
Hey, you want to hear how much I put up?
Yeah, I put up the second highest.
So. You want to hear how much I put up and got a win? 68, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
And guess who he beat? Your other host over here putting up 65. It was a tough one for us here, but Vandy, you know, that's just the luck of the draw, man. That you know how ruthless fantasy can be. Exactly. That you know how ruthless.
I'm so callous to it at this point.
No kidding. We've groomed you for this, Vandy. You have been born for this position.
I'm born a loser.
But nonetheless, we have a jam-packed episode here in episode 105. Got an exciting week 8 to break down, from all the fantasy performances to, again, some shocking results that we'll definitely get to. Vandy's boy showing up for him after
he called it.
In episode 104 last week. We actually also have some Team of the Week honorees, like we do every single week, to dish out. But we got some other honors to dish out in this episode as well. We got some middies. Maddie mentioned it is halfway through the fantasy MLR season. So, hey, let's dish out some half-season awards here for some of the top fantasy performers, at least in our eyes, this season so far, and some not-so-top fantasy performers in this one as well, which we'll get to, of course. Waiver wire advice in this one as well, and then a look ahead to a Week 9 preview. We also got word of some degenerate gambling habits that Vandy may have when it comes to the world of sports, and maybe it's time to dig in to that when it comes to Major League Rugby. We've got a nice little new segment here at the end of the show that you'll want to stay tuned for as well. That's the word around town, Vandy, is that we got to tap into that sports gambling side of you, and maybe Major League Rugby has a space for you in your heart for that, if you can handle it emotionally, of course.
You know what? Anymore, I don't know how much emotionally more I can handle, but I'm always down to gamble. So,
damble.
Yeah, damble. Yeah, we'll get into it and tell you what that all means. But again, yeah, like we said, jam-packed episode in this one. And I know we're a rugby show here, but let's give a shout out. We're good Canadian boys. Got to give a shout out to the hockey playoffs going on. Big dub by the Leafs here this week. Got the New Jersey in. Gonna throw that in as well. I know, Vandy, you're a Colorado Avs fan. Good showing in that first game. Not so much, but it's okay.
Hey, any of you rugby guys think you could take a shot at playing goalie? Because I mean, it really, literally, statistically, couldn't be worse.
Just throw a prop in there. They cover up the whole net.
That's true. I know friend of the show, James Dealey, will be pumped. Canadian at heart there. He's a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan. He's going to be pretty stoked about the big win against Boston.
James, you play goalie, bro.
So nonetheless, hey, let's get into it. But before we do, every single episode we mention it, make sure you're following us at the Fantasy Ruckers handle up above on your YouTube video screen if you're watching on our YouTube channel, down below in the description if you're listening on the pod. Got lots of good content coming through each and every week. Like, subscribe, it really helps us out. Join our Discord community, got a lot of fun folks over there that love to talk a little bit fantasy MLR and MLR and rugby as a whole. So do that down below with the link. And hey, check out the fantasyruckers.com. Alistair Kirschpool, our website guru, has put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that website, and it looks absolutely fantastic heading into few years that we've been doing this thing. Keeps on making big upgrades in there. It's been a lot of fun. Even if you're not a fantasy MLR junkie, just a lot of cool numbers and stats to look on the fantasyruckers.com. So make sure you check that out. All right, let's get into some news and notes, boys, and hop right into this episode number 105. Kind of a quiet week heading into the week 8 shenanigans when it comes to news and notes, but we do have some to go over. Not sure how fantasy impactful it is going to be, but nonetheless, we do have to mention it. Two signings going into this week 8 here that I think were announced just before the week had started there in terms of the matches, but Old Glory DC signing front row Stephen Longwell for the rest of the 2024 Major League Rugby season. He appeared for Old Glory back in 2021, coming over, returning, I should say, from Bristol. And then Houston signing scrum half Jay Renton, the New Zealander who has experience in the Bunnings MPC, playing for Southland. He joins a scrum half room that is pretty loaded there on the Houston Sabercats. Boys, overall thoughts on these signings here halfway through the season?
Yeah, that Jay Renton one's going to be interesting how that plays out. I mean, if we were looking at teams, they're probably the last team that needed a nine, but hey, they bring in a guy that I think started 7 out of 8 games for the Southland Stags, scored 3 tries. So we'll see. Andre Warner's playing pretty dang well, but yeah, we'll see how that impacts Andre Warner's fantasy relevance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think with that first name, you had me in the first half. I thought you were going to say Stephen Lowen. Yeah. I'm like, homies everywhere, man.
That's just the scars that he's left on you, Vandy. Our community moderator, Stephen Lowen, beating you with that Houston Sabercats head-to-head matchup. Man. Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, that's the reading between the lines, Maddie, seeing kind of what Jay Renton means, the signing of Jay Renton, I should say, has on the playing time of Andre Warner and Carlo Denishin over there. Again, Andre Warner has been one of the top nines here and there for this 2024 season. I wouldn't be, and Matt, you're an Andre Warner fan, an Andre Warner fantasy owner. I don't think I would be too worried with this signing because of Andre playing so well, but we'll see.
I'd be shook if I was you.
Okay, Vandy.
That's mind games there. Mind games. You never know with that. You never know. But hey, let's get into one more roster move here heading into the week 8. I believe it was announced on the trade wire. It was announced there on April 16th. So last week, just heading into the matches, it was a trade between the RFC Los Angeles squad and the NOLA Gold. The NOLA Gold receiving salary cap considerations, our lovely friend there, cash considerations in 2024.
Can we switch it to tax evasions?
Yeah,
you know, we mentioned it every single time. Why not? LA receiving the playing rights to Sam Buckley on a 4-week loan that has an option for becoming a permanent trade here moving forward. What that option is and what it's going to cost LA, not too sure, but nonetheless, that is a option there to keep Sam Buckley here going moving forward.
Yeah. And he was in the lineup 2 weeks ago. So it's kind of funny that this one came through the trade wire this week. But yeah, anyways, it is what it is. That's the MLR for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on here to, I think, everyone's favorite part of the show, the Fantasy Ruckers League's update.
Here comes my PTSD.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Guys, stinks.
Hear ye, hear ye.
All right, hear ye, here is Supreme Mr. Yi with the Fantasy Ruckers League's update. That's right, Vandy. Cheers to the Supreme Commissioner. I appreciate it. That's it was my offer.
There you go.
I thought you were trying to call him Bush.
I got Vandy to buy in. That's we've been.
Oh, he was calling you Bush League.
No. We've been feeding the propaganda here on the Fantasy Rucker Show when it comes to getting the people on the Supreme Commissioner's
side. I'm south of the border.
Oh boy. We're not even going to touch that. God. All right. We got a lot to go over here in the Fantasy Rucker's League's update.
What a can of worms.
What a can of worms, which we try to keep a PC here on the Fantasy Rucker Show.
No one's. It could have been anything. I'm south of the Canadian border, people.
Yeah, that's what we did. That's what we meant.
All right. But like we start every episode here on the Fantasy Rucker's League's update, we'd like to give people a glimpse into our weekly challenge, which is a way for people to get involved in Fantasy MLR, dip their toes in the world of Fantasy MLR. And the weekly challenge has been a lot of fun. You create a lineup, have a budget of $15, and you try to see if you can make the best possible lineup. And this week, we had our best performer as Unforgiven Potato, who put up a whopping 67.8 fantasy points in this one with a lineup of Tian Erasmus, Gideon Van Vyk, Jason Putros, Tavita Kuradrani, and of course, Nate Oxberger, which is a performance we're going to get into, which made up for half of those 67.8 fantasy points. He finishes off at the top here in the weekly challenge.
Yeah, good for the potato.
But commissioner of one of our leagues as well. So I think the experience is going far here in teaching him the ways when it comes to commissioner.
It's not you.
It's me, the Supreme Commissioner, because I'm number one, baby. Number one on the season rankings. I've been bestowing the wisdom.
That's crazy. Unforgiven Potato scored more points than you with five players than you did with a whole lineup.
All right. Why do we got to go there?
I'm 1-0 away from being the same score.
It's true.
Or same rank.
Same rank. 1-0. You know, you take a zero off, you're number one. But you're number one in our hearts, Vandy. It's okay. It's okay.
Not mine.
But nonetheless, I finished 11th. Maddie, you finished a little bit higher in 8th. You're second in the season ranks when it comes to the weekly challenge. And Vandy, yes, it's all about consistency. Like you mentioned, you add a zero on the ranking there. You're 10th this week. You're 10th on the season. We'd love to see it. You know, you show up and you give people what they expect. Mediocrity.
Yeah, I knew it.
500, baby.
Hey, you sound like my high school teachers.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. Well, hey, again, join and participate in the weekly challenge. You can do that link down below in the description if you want to get your first taste of Fantasy MLR. All right. We also like to give a shout out to the top performers of the week when it comes to our Fantasy Rucker's leagues. And this year, we had some big, big time performances. And that was Scary Larry Rugby putting up 124.5 fantasy points in the Tryhards League. Pretty crazy that he did that there. He had a lineup of Dylan Fawcett, Frank Lockhor, Charles Elton, Connell Boomer, Luke Campbell, Philippe Echeverry, Tian Lutz, and of course, two of our biggest players of the year, or I should say in week 8, Michael Manson and Nate Oxberger, who both put up above 25 fantasy points, which we'll get into. But hey, congratulations to Scary Larry Rugby. We've been mentioning his name a lot here on the Fantasy Rucker Show when top performances. He's a pretty good team there in the Tryhards League. If I was in the Tryhards League, I'd be pretty scared of Scary Larry.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, he's pretty scary and his name might be Larry.
It might be Larry. All right. Well, hey, let's move it on here. And hey, you guys ready to talk some week 8 rugby and dish out some team of the week honorees?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, no. Oh, you're not ready? what would you like to discuss about, Andy?
I didn't think you'd end up like that.
We're going to talk about one of your, I think, highlights of the week. It might be the highlights of the season for you.
Well, we can't get there yet. Games.
Not yet, but hey,
we're still getting on Saturday.
We're getting to it. So yeah, again, Carolina on bye, Dallas on bye. Got 5 matches this weekend. All started on Saturday with one of the best matches of the weekend. MLR final preview between the New England Free Jacks and the Seattle Seawolves. Pretty interesting match there, but it was the Seawolves that come out on top in the end, 29-21. They move up to 7-1 here, heading into their bye week here in week 9. The New England Free Jacks 5-2 now. Thoughts on this matchup here at a glimpse of what we could see in the 2024 MLR final.
Yeah, I mean, what a defensive battle. If we're going to get that I mean, the first 20 minutes was just ridiculous. I think it was like 3-0 for Seattle in the first 10, 15 minutes, and they were just beating each other up. None of them were really getting into the other 22. They were just running straight into each other and building phases and gassing each other out. And you saw, I mean, New England seemed to get tired pretty early. But yeah, I mean, Seattle got up to an early lead. I will say that their offense didn't necessarily look amazing. It didn't look extremely organized as it usually does. It was a little bit messy, but they still found a way to get it done despite New England starting to come back in that last 20. It seems like they kind of found some juice, and Seattle was really gassed by the end of the game. And you saw that when they were trying to defend the counterattack. They just had nothing left and resulted in some pretty big boy tries for New England Free Jacks.
Man, I swear to God, you could put Rykert Hatting at wing, and he would do work. He would be,
it's true.
He would be what John Ryberg was supposed to be our first year.
Well, yeah, you know what the difference is between those two, eh?
Couple.
We're not going to go there.
We're not
going to go there. Don't let Matty
bait
you.
That's the low-hanging fruit. I refuse.
We're not going to go there. But yeah,
say, one's in the league and one isn't.
You're right.
Except for 6 months.
Oh, boy. talking about fantasy performances, boys, Rykert Hatting among them, but we got to talk about this guy named Wayne Vanderbank to start off with, because, man, what a performance. And let's dish out our first team of the week honoree. I mean, he is our center team of the week with 20.3 fantasy points. He does it again in back-to-back weeks. Seven came off his high of 28.9. Vanderbank coming back out here in week 8 against the Seattle Seawolves, puts up 150 meters gain, a try, 11 tackles. He now has 4 tries in the past 2 games. Wayne Vanderbank is not the guy that you necessarily kind of thought about as one of the top guys in this New England Free Jacks center pairing from a fantasy perspective heading into the season. But 8 weeks into this MLR year, it looks like Wayne Vanderbank is the guy to have here. When you're dealing with the Lou Milan returning from injury, Ben Lesage has not necessarily been up there. I mean, 5 straight matches here, double-digit fantasy point performances here for Wayne Vanderbank. 2 of them in the last 2 weeks above 20 points. It's incredible what Wayne is doing.
Yeah, it's pretty encouraging. Oh, yeah. But it's pretty encouraging seeing him put up these kind of type of numbers, even though New England Free Jacks offense were just making a bunch of mistakes all game. So, encouraging to see that he even reaps rewards when they aren't at the top of their game and when they are kind of taking losses. So that's a good sign. And New England Free Jacks clearly have a great little group of center combos there to choose from. And Wayne Vanderbank seems like he solidified himself as a starter in that New England Free Jack side.
And it's funny because I think the consensus heading into that season, that kind of top tier center pairing was going to be Leroux, Milan, Ben Lesage. But it does appear like you can't take Wayne Vanderbank out of the lineup now after these types of performances. No.
They could. It's the MLR.
Question moving forward, though, I mean, as a fantasy manager, you're most confident when it comes to centers with this Free Jacks team, it's Wayne Vanderbank. Even with the looming, I know Leroux Milan returned to the injury report this past week, but obviously there's a lot of hype about his return. I know I had him in my team and I was very hyped when he came back, hadn't had a big time performance as of yet. A lot of that could be due to him kind of getting adjusted and returning from that gruesome injury from the World Cup. But nonetheless, it does appear, even if Leroux Milan kind of has that ceiling and that kind of untapped potential that you could maybe reap the rewards from later in the season, Wayne Vanderbank is still the option to have even when Leroux Milan's in the lineup.
Yeah,
it seems that way. I mean, we saw that last week and I think the week before potentially. But yeah. It seems like he still finds a way, and the New England Free Jacks, they clearly are using Wayne Vanderbank in their offense, even when Leroux Milan's in the lineup. So that's kind of a good sign to see for Wayne Vanderbank owners.
And then one more team of the week honoree to hand out here in this match. Again, on the New England side, let's give it out to Caleb Geiger, who was a monster there.
Big boy!
Big boy getting that try there. I don't think that guy has ever run that fast in his life, but he did it, and it ended up being 71 meters gained, a try at five tackles on top of that, coming off the bench, 13.1 fantasy points. Hey, kudos to Caleb Geiger for turning on the Jets and looking like a wing there for a brief moment in the 10 seconds that he had to run fastest he ever has.
He's got that runaway from cop speed, you know, where all of a sudden it's like you turn on another gear, like you're scared about something. That's what that was. And then that dive, that Superman dive in there, beautiful.
Yeah, that was good. 10 out of 10 there. Whose dive do you put higher there? Tony Pulu's dive from earlier in the season or Caleb Geiger's?
Ooh, Geiger, big boy. I'm biased. Big boy tries.
That is fair enough. But my favorite part of the dive is when the big boys lie on the ground after because they gassed themselves.
No, I think it's because he smashed his dome off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that too. That's a lot of surface area to hit off the ground.
It's true. But hey, a couple other guys that we got to mention in this one. Vandy, your boy, Dan Creel, coming through again, kind of has had an up and down year. You have him on your fantasy squad, was your first pick of this season. 17.3 fantasy points, 70 meters gain, a try, 16 tackles. Yeah. It's kind of been a roller coaster of a year for him. You've been waiting for kind of a breakout game. You may still be waiting for that kind of big breakout game, but he hasn't killed you. Yeah. He hasn't killed you necessarily. And 17.3 is the kind of the median line you've been hoping for Dan Creel on a weekly basis.
100%. But I mean, two tries in the last 3 weeks, you know, we're on the come up.
All right. And Rekert Hadding, we mentioned him, 16.5 fantasy points, 68 meters gained, 14 tackles to try to add to that. And then a couple free Jacks guys that we want to mention, 14 points for Mitch Wilson, 13.8 for Jason Potros, who put in two conversion kicks. And then we got Vian Conradi, 11.9 fantasy points for him, has four straight games with double-digit fantasy point performances, 15 tackles, kind of a marquee, low-risk Vian Conradi play like you expect when you drafted him.
And hey, don't forget that tackling machine, Charles Elton.
Oh, that's true. Charles Elton, who's low key. I mean, he's been very, very good. Back-to-back double-digit point weeks, has had four straight games with over 14 tackles at least. I believe from the latest rankings, he's the league's tackle leader. And I mean, a really cool, consistent fantasy asset to have for those managers who do own Charles Elton. You can really just lock him in, expect 10 points from him at the very least, and you move on.
Yep, ain't that right.
All right, let's shift on over to the second matchup of the Saturday. And kind of a different storyline in this one. The NOLA Gold. I don't know what to do with this team because the hype has always been there with them heading into the year. And once again, some deja vu. Feels like we're in the same place that we felt like we were last year. But they fall to the Miami Sharks, 42-27. Miami get their second franchise win in franchise history, move up to 2-5. The NOLA Gold now find themselves at 3-4.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. NOLA just, they just find a way to just beat themselves and shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Offensively, you know, they have these spurts. They look good at times, but once they get put under pressure, they just don't know what to do with the ball. And they just, I don't know what it is, but they continue to come out flat in second halves. The discipline issues really racked up this game. I mean, Ardejo was an absolute beast at the breakdown, but like I think Vandy brought up last week, it's like this NOLA side just loves taking breakdown penalties.
Yep.
And they just got to figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, Miami, I think they deserve the kudos here. They dominated the scrum. They definitely like outplayed this NOLA defense. Absolutely tore them apart. The only downside and a little bit cowardice from them is that they're going for friggin' penalty points twice in a row to end the game when they could have went for the corner.
Hey.
And they're up by like 30. Like, and what's they already the point had the bonus like, point. Yeah, they already had the bonus point. How that's, dumb. How that's
second,
just,
gotta lock what? In that second franchise win. It's important.
What you are you going to lock in? It's the 80th minute and they score a try. You still win. What are you locking in?
I would like just to play. See. I'd like to see some better. Joke. Better heart out of NOLA, you know, to get in those dirty areas, continue good play. But honestly, in that offensive zone within their 5 meter line there, their forwards are just stagnant. They're waiting for the ball to come at them instead of trying to read the play. You know, Filimone, thanks for the try, buddy. But man, there was a couple there tough to watch.
And I think the big question here that I think turns the conversation to what the heck do fantasy MLR managers do here with the fly half situation?
Oh,
in because Vandy, you called it last episode. You said, oh, you know, we talked about Dorian Jones being one of the top pickups for the fly half position heading into this week eight. And then all of a sudden the lineup comes out and it's Reese Botha that's starting at the
time. I literally said last week, I'm like, don't Reese Botha start.
So, I mean, what do you do as a fantasy manager when you just can't, it's really a lost cause. If you are a Rodney Iona owner, because he was, I think consensusly, we can all agree, was the top fly half that was selected in drafts on this Nola side here, the highest out of the three that were picked. If you missed out on the Reese Botha handcuff, you know, earlier in the season when he got picked up, maybe you're lucky and he was dropped and you're able to pick him up again. But I mean, I guess that's the strategy you go with, because fly halves are at a premium right now.
Try and make a trade.
That's the cost of owning Rodney Iona right now, which we'll get into in terms of his performances now, what appears to be now at the center position. You're losing out on the fly half that you drafted and you're going to have to just handcuff the two. But just thoughts on that situation overall.
Well, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than a fly half situation. It's a position where there's not a lot of depth. You know, you hope when you got, like you said, when you draft your guy, you hope he's your guy. You hope he starts. You know, I had a little bit of it with Jason Robertson and Graydon Bowd, but that was quickly shown it was going to be Robertson. So I mean, it's frustrating and it will continue to be frustrating, I'm sure.
And you know what's even worse? Rodney Iona loses fly half eligibility if he starts at center in this upcoming week. So that'll be something to watch for sure for Rodney Iona managers. And you're going to have to figure out in playing a kind of a game of like, who do I have to take a chance on in starting? Because if not, then you have to hold all three of them and all of a sudden you're stuck.
Was Iona kicking at center?
So Reese Botha kicked most of the goals, and
and then they switched
when
it up.
Botha got taken off. I believe that's when
Iona took over.
Iona took over. So I mean, even that from that sense is concerning, because it's not like you're reaping the rewards of Iona getting the center production from fantasy and getting his kicking responsibilities when Botha and Iona are on the field together. And I believe Dorian Jones, correct me if I'm wrong, was taking the kicks as well the week before, I believe.
Yeah. They've been splitting kicks the whole year.
So that's going to be a tough one. I don't think there's a lot of confidence there setting Iona as your kicker in hopes of, you know, him stepping up to the tee with 20 minutes left in the match when they sub out who started at 10. So it'll be an interesting thing to watch. And we know that that roster spots are at a premium when it comes to fantasy MLR rosters. So just a really sticky situation. I think you're right, Vandy. If you can make a trade for a fly half and try to use one of your fantasy assets, because we know how important having a kicker on your squad is to be successful in fantasy MLR, that's probably what I'm looking for to be doing here if I am a Rodney Iona owner. All right.
I just got one shout out. I got to say Michael Hand, the player that's on the 4-week rental from Chicago. Beautiful try. And shout out to the sketch finger point. Hey, brother.
There you go. 15.9 fantasy points for him. It's funny because despite a high scoring game, like 42 to 27 is a decent amount of points. There weren't that many points handed out fantasy wise in this one. Again, Michael Hand was the highest in 15.9 fantasy points, had 78 meters gained and a try in this one. Basically. Some other guys here, Jonah Moe, good to see him back from a fantasy perspective. 14.4 fantasy points there in the 49 meters he gained and the try. Nick Gregg, Matt, your start of the week, 13 fantasy points for him. And Vandy, you mentioned Taniela Filimoni with 12.1 with his try as
Thank
well.
You.
All right, let's shift on over to the last match of the Saturday, Old Glory DC taking on the Houston Sabrecats. And did I not tell you guys last week? Did I not say that this one was going to be a stomp?
I didn't know Old Glory DC was going to suck this much.
Yeah.
It's just they haven't proven to me yet that they can put it all together. The pieces are there. They just haven't strung it together, and the inconsistencies just worry me so much. And
well,
and Houston's
a good team, though. So
very good team.
Yes,
it's true.
To be fair, Old Glory DC decided to put out a stupid lineup against Houston side. Like, what are you doing?
But that's Houston, what Houston are you had doing? 9 position changes from last week. Not necessarily
but Houston put out
position changes.
Houston put out their big boy lineup.
Yes,
Houston
did.
Put out their big boy lineup.
I knew it. I see finally, Dom McKean on the bench. I'm like, that got Maddie fired up.
Yeah.
Well, it led to a big time win here, 38-17 for the Sabrecats. They moved to 6-1. Old Glory DC falls to 2-3-2.
Yeah. I mean, Old Glory DC, they look they look good at times. Like they look really good offensively when Ethan McVay is just able to get to the breakdown and move that ball quickly. And they look sharp. I mean, when they're moving the ball quickly, they are looking sharp, but they just end up just making mistakes, and you can't afford to make those types of mistakes against this Houston team. Yeah, and then especially when Houston's just consistently putting you on the back foot with their scrum dominance.
Yeah.
You know, they got lots of line speed on defense, making it really hard for you to kind of get anything going offensively. But to be honest, like, we talk about how good this Houston team is, I don't think their offense was necessarily what we expected from them, what we usually see from them. Like, they're so used to building phases. They're so used to using their big boys or forwards in that 22 to really wear down defenses. And I think all of their tries, if not most of them, were really like big chunk plays, like set piece plays, just big, big gains that just happened to score for tries rather than how they're usually scoring. Yeah. So that was interesting to see. But I'm glad to see Sam Hill and Tuol Tassitassi back, the pairing in the center combo. Yeah, love to see it.
Yeah. That's their best
I
pairing.
I just got to shout out Davey Coatcher too.
Yeah,
man, those other plays that did come off the package. I mean, he was just electric with the boot his try. I mean, the guy's so fast. He's natural 15.
Runs. Oh, so
I wouldn't be worried that he's not playing fly half. Looks like AJ got that lockdown.
I mean, he's I think there was concern following that first game at 15 for Kutzer, because you were like, oh crap, like he's just not as involved. He doesn't have that same opportunity to do what he is so good at the fly half position and really attack and use his athleticism for those gains that makes him so different than other fly halves. But I mean, it seems like Houston is really integrating him into this offense at that fly half position where he can use his assets and use his strengths here. Yep. And he's shown that in back-to-back weeks here at the fullback position where, yeah, he looks so good. He's so fast, man. And as a Davey Coatser owner, I'm locking him in my lineup each and every week. It's gonna suck when he loses his fly half eligibility, because I'm gonna predict that's probably what's gonna happen here. But nonetheless, I mean, just have a backup plan in place. I was lucky and able to pick up Oscar Caller. So I have kind of that easy switch there. But if you drafted Coatser with your second round pick, which is where he was kind of going as one of the top marquee fly halves, losing his eligibility is going to hurt you. You just got to make sure you got some sort of fly half replacement in place for him, which, hey, stick around for the waiver wire segment. We might have some ideas for you here moving forward. But let's dish out some team of the week honorees here. Second row player, Tavita Nicali of Old Glory DC. His team might not look like he's putting it together, but Tavita Nicali looked like he was putting it together because he put up 18.5 fantasy points in his first start of the season at second row, 102 meters gained, 11 tackles, a try in the full 80 that he played. Good to see a brand new name there, not someone that we've seen here.
Yep.
I think he's first time team of the week honoree. Like to hand him out, play the music. Like we said, this is a high, high honor here. I think it's just as high, if not higher, than the Oscars. We dish out premium hardware here on the Fantasy Ruckers Show. Mm.
Yeah, you just can't see it because it's invisible, but it's there.
It's in the works. It's in the works.
And nobody's getting slapped in between.
That's true. No Will Smith slaps. You're right about that. And then last
unless I see you in person,
you
Matt.
Just wait.
Unless
buddy.
I
you
see
just
you
wait,
in person,
buddy.
Boy.
You just wait until this show becomes in person and we're no longer have to do this on Zoom. When we got the budget, Vandy, to fly you in to the States here on a weekly basis and fly you out, I feel like
Vandy
there might be more
plane.
Physical altercations.
I've never even been on a plane, bro.
That's on our bucket list, our Fantasy Ruckers bucket list. Yeah. We got to get you here. All right. And our last team of the week honoree. This was a low week for defense and set pieces. I mean, our highest was the Houston Sabercats here with just 3 fantasy points. Just not as many set piece tries.
Well, look, I mean, we were gifted the past couple weeks with like a 5 try followed up with a 4 try.
Somebody got a 9
set piece. So like, let's just be.
It's honestly because we had no anthem playing this week. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
There was no set piece that was playing the anthem. That is typically the team that's getting that team of the honoree. But
well, I don't know. I mean, Duol Kotze got 5 tries against Seattle. So
That's true. Fair enough. But a couple other guys that we want to mention here. We mentioned Davey Coatser, 15 fantasy points for him. Dom McKenna even coming off the bench, 14.8. Christian Dyer, 13.8 fantasy points for him. 52 meters gained, a tackle or 12 tackles and a try here in the full 85 minutes played. AGA Alatimu with a couple a try assist there, and then his kind of marquee from the boot, 5 conversion kicks, a penalty kick as well. Just kind of a trademark AJ Allen team performance. And hey, good to see Gideon Van Vijk back in the lineup, Maddie. I know you're relieved after you spent some draft capital on him. Good to see him back in the lineup. He brings up 12.7 there in his second start of the year. 20 meters gained. Not great, but he scored a try and he had 14 tackles. So
yeah, let's see if he can make it 2 weeks in a row. So let's chill out on that one. But I do want to point out a guy named Andre Warner. I mean, he'd only scored 5.5 fantasy points, but for a 9, I mean, that's not too bad. I just want to point out the fact. Yeah, that is true. But I do want to point out the fact, like, his defensive work as a 9, like, you're getting 12 tackles from him last week. Like, he is on the defensive line consistently making tackles. And hey, at a position that doesn't, you know, points don't come easy, that's kind of a great thing to see.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's shift on to the Sunday matches. And I think I have an idea of which Sunday match, because they're at the same time, which one Vandy wants to start with here. So I'm going to keep it short and I'm going to pass the mic over to Vandy. I got to give you your flowers, Vandy, because your boy showed up. Your faith was wavering on episode 104. You took some time to make that pick.
I didn't have a beer last week, you know.
I'm pretty sure the comments in the YouTube channel, that was one of their favorite parts of the episode, was you having your internal battle there and sticking with your Utah boys. But hey, it paid off. Utah, the big, big time win over no joke of a team, or maybe, are they? The San Diego Legion. We'll see what Matthew has to say about that. 33-32 victory for the Utah Warriors. They go up to 3-4. San Diego falling to 5-2. Utah, Vandy, I'll kind of use this to throw it to you. Beating a pretty big streak here, a big milestone here for the Warriors.
Well, you know what? I got to shout out big name, Dylan Nell. Frank Lahore too, but Dylan Nell getting in those breakdowns, you know, getting the turnovers. They had a lot of penalties at the breakdown. We were phenomenal at it. I am sure we are the best team at the breakdown steals. You can see why Dylan Nell is an absolute animal. It's our first win in San Diego's bar.
That's the milestone.
Yeah, we ended the home win streak there. Just a quick little one at the 17-minute mark. I just got to say, great defense. We pull up a yellow, 2 stops within the 5-meter line. I mean, beautiful play. Hodgson, you know what? He had a redemption game. He had a bad miss right before half. He gets the ball right back, guns it down. Ball ends up on the outside to I think Manson, pretty sure. But honestly, great game. Legion played good. They just undisciplined, way too many penalties. And I mean, great comeback by the second half from Utah. Always at the heart, you know. That's playing in the mountains for you. You got the stamina.
Hey, it was crazy because you saw San Diego actually come out and play a first half.
Yeah,
and you thought, hey, this isn't looking good for Utah. 20 minutes of it. Yeah. There we go. So 20 minutes of, but like they finally actually play some part of the first half and they still end up losing. I think like you brought it up, discipline issues, tackling seemed to be a little bit of an issue as well. And like they just weren't converting on their opportunities. Like they ended up so many times in that first half, it was in the Utah 22 making these big breaks. They should have been scoring, but they just didn't convert on opportunities. And they are showing characteristics, a lot of characteristics of a team that should not be winning championships. And it seems like they've taken a step back from last year.
You know,
they didn't win a championship last year. And it seems like the team isn't ready to win one this year either.
I think if Brocky was in that game though, I think just having that extra veteran.
Yeah, they got to stop playing Ryan James.
Yeah.
They got to stop. Ryan James is a liability on defense.
And as we start to get into kind of individual performances, I guess before we kind of get into the team of the week honoree in this match, got to talk about it, Vandy. Your boy making a return, Caleb McEnany. I mean, you were
guys
sweating.
Telling me to drop him.
I didn't say it. It wasn't me.
I'll admit, I did say it. I said,
I ain't dropping him.
It's true.
I told you
stayed faithful, and he had a good performance. 19 fantasy points.
Him and Caleb McEnany together?
But I'm Utah. I think this week in specific, and I hope they continue to do it moving forward. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But in the set piece, they are just targeting, like, it seems like their ideal is just, let's get McAdoo and Manson space.
Yep.
Let's give them space and let's let them run. And you see it with so many times. There was one where they switched it back and just gave Manson like 15 meters of running space and said, hey, take the ball, do something with it.
Yep. Yeah.
But so many times where they're like using Lasique as, and Mika Kruse as well, like these two hard runners coming at you. And all of a sudden Lasique turns into a playmaker and McAdoo and Manson have like half the field to run and have a gap, like a huge gaping hole to run through. So I hope they continue to do that. And if they continue to do that, McAdoo and Manson are going to be a deadly pairing both on the field and in fantasy.
This is the first time we've fielded that lineup with Joe Mano, Kruse,
all the boys,
CK, Manson, and McAdoo. So, I mean, if that's how that offense looks with them, there's no reason to switch that up.
Would you be as bold as saying that with the Mano, McAdoo, and Manson back three, is that the best back three in MLR?
Bias, but yes. Nah, I don't know. That Free Jacks back with Reese.
Free Jacks, I mean, Free Jacks is good, but like you really got Reese McDonald and like who else? Like Mitch Wilson does well, but not like great like Manson.
True.
Paula Balakana stinks. Daniel Morgan, Puterangi, he comes off the bench.
He comes off the bench, yeah.
Like, well, okay, I guess
think
the
Utah
question
is definitely up there.
Yeah. I think for me, it comes down to Utah and Seattle, right? Like, I think that's for me. Like, you got Jade Styling, Tony Pulu, Ina Foody, in that kind of mix
Dan
there.
Creole,
Dan Rousseau. You know,
Devin Rousseau, exactly. But yeah, I mean, Utah, if they can find a way to allow Caleb McAdoo and Michael Manson do their thing, I think they're going to be quite deadly. First triple-digit meters gain performance is what we'd like to see from McAdoo. Matt, you and I had mentioned this on the show before. He's not really the try scorer. He did score the try in this one, and he has been showing, like, in his first few weeks, like his last week appearance that he showed in round three, he had the 85 meters gain with the 11.1 fantasy points. So that's kind of like one of those marquee. You're just waiting for him to hit that triple-digit number, which he's so consistently hit over the past few seasons from a fantasy standpoint. It's good to see him kind of back in that realm. Michael Manson, I mean, he would be getting team of the week honorees if it wasn't for a guy that is played out of his mind in a match that we're just going to talk about. But I mean, Manson, 25.3 fantasy points.
Beast.
The lowest meters gain that he scored in the past 4 weeks is in the 4 weeks that he's played is 113 meters. I mean, he's got 182 in round four, 216 in round six, 113 in round seven, and 141. He's gone four straight matches that he started in with tries, at least one try, and he scored six in the past 4 weeks that he's appeared in. I mean, just incredible. Incredible.
Yep. We talked about him so much.
Yeah, incredible. And then the team of the week honoree that we want to hand out is the best fly half of the season is Joel Hodgson. I think Joel Hodgson owners have been waiting for this kind of breakout performance. He was the number one fly half really drafted on most boards in most leagues outside of our bum fantasy Rutgers league where Dan Holland's head was picked third overall. But Joel Hodgson was up there in terms of the draft capital being used. He looked good last week and the week before, 18.3 fantasy points in round seven, and then comes out this week, 26.4, 77 meters gained, a couple try assists, three conversion kicks, and four penalty kicks. I mean, this is the Joel Hodgson performance that you've been waiting for, and this is the type of stuff that he can do when Utah is rolling.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
All right, and it's got to be, Vandy, a pretty good match for you because your favorite player in the league, Mikey Tao. He's showing up, gets the start, and scores 15.6 fantasy points for the Legion. I think he had magnets in his pockets.
Cheeky little try,
that try when who kicked it to Tao? Was it a little box over the top from Tupai?
No,
it was a deep one, and then Manson couldn't control it and ended up in our end.
I forget who, but nonetheless, Tao.
Big boy scored.
They had the Spo track because it was a nationally televised game. They had the technology in the ball that got attracted to the magnets in Mikey Tao's pockets, and nonetheless he scored. But yeah, also what a game to have on the national stage. I mean, that's a really, really good game to get rugby on the map there. A couple other guys, Connor Tupai, 15.2 fantasy points for him. He's been looking really, really good at the
scrum half of the year, baby.
You think so? 56 meters gain in this one, a try, seven tackles, and a try assist. I mean, he's looking pretty good.
He just looks so involved in that offense. You know,
Oh yeah.
Sometimes scrum halves get lost in the play. He looks like they're actually trying to get him the ball.
Yeah, and there's nobody coming on. Like, he's playing 80 minutes basically every game. Yeah, he's playing essentially almost full games, at least 70 minutes every game.
Yep. Even when he came off the bench, he got 10.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he just finds a way to, like, anytime San Diego breaks the line, he finds a way to score a try, yeah, and be there in support, which is what you love to see in fantasy for a scrum half. And he's probably going to finish off as a scrum half one this year.
Book it, bets.
Book it, bets.
I love
it. Bets. All right. Now he's got to draw it down. Connor Tupai, your scrum half one to end the year. We'll see how that turns out. All right, a couple other guys. Tavita time allowed, 12.3. Cyril Kama, 12.1 for him. All right, let's shift on over to the last match of the weekend. And it was one that had a whole bunch of points and a whole bunch of fantasy points. 85 total points scored in this one between the Chicago Hounds and RFC Los Angeles. Chicago, though, coming out on top here, 54 to 31. They go up to 4-3-1. Chicago seems to be rolling right now and sort of trying to figure it out. Los Angeles still working things out there. But, man, fantasy managers, I think the talk of the town here is Nate Oxberger with this matchup. Yeah. And managers have been waiting for this match and hat trick of a tries in this matchup against Los Angeles.
And extra minutes. Well, look,
yeah. And I mean, Chicago figured out that they need to get the ball wide. They need to use the width and use their wingers in order to really make the most of their offense here. And they've figured that out the past few weeks and they've gone in wins. And we were saying that, like, look, they're having issues getting the ball out wide and they need to get some width in this offense. And they're doing it. And you saw that on full display against LA. Nate Oxberger reaping all the benefits from that. Seems like he's getting way more involved in the offense than what he did in the first few weeks. So that's great to see for Oxberger fantasy managers. And LA, sure. I mean, LA just making, I mean, they scored a lot of points, but they made a lot of mistakes here, like a lot of unforced errors that just killed them. And I think they're really missing some key guys. I mean, they continue to have discipline issues for sure, but they're missing some key guys. But yeah, Chicago just, I mean, unmatched in this game.
Are you, I guess the question then becomes, with the Chicago team, we could probably say that this whole Billy Meeks experiment at 10 has been put to bed, right? Like, we can be confident in that's done.
I think we're confident in that 3 weeks ago.
That's true.
Maybe 4 weeks ago.
What's your confidence level here with Chicago moving forward now? You know, they're coming off back-to-back wins. They're looking better on tape. They're passing the eye test. Are they coming closer, I guess the question is, to the team that we were hyping up at the start of the season that we were so excited for?
I mean, I don't know about the team, but, like, offensively for fantasy, like, you have no issues with this offense. You are happy to have a piece of this offense. You look at guys like Noah Brown, like a guy who is just there and is getting so much opportunity just because he's on the wing for the Chicago Hounds. So I think the offense really bodes well for fantasy.
All right. And again, that starts off with the guy that we mentioned, Nate Oxberger, 3 tries in this one, 122 meters gain. I think fantasy managers of Nate Oxberger, who drafted him, if not the first overall pick, the second pick, maybe if you were lucky, the third pick, you were waiting for this moment because this is what Nate Oxberger can do for you. 29.5 fantasy points, like we mentioned, coming off of a week in round 7 where he scored 14.2. Really did not much before that. And obviously a lot of that is a correlation between Chicago kind of shifting their mindset. So I think moving forward here for Nate Oxberger fantasy managers is that we can expect that Oxberger has double-digit fantasy point performances here moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. That's what you're hoping for, but we'll see. We'll find out.
I mean, at least he strung two good games together, right?
Yeah, and correlated, I think that's the thing, though. Correlated with this improved Chicago offense team of Chicago, right? Yep. So, like, you're kind of thinking here, okay, because they're improving, so will Nate Oxberger's fantasy point performances. A couple other guys you got to mention. Hey, Semi Kunitani has been a great, great asset here for fantasy managers. He's gone 5 straight games with double-digit fantasy point performances ever since he started at the back row position for LA, coming off his high of the season with 22.1 fantasy points, 125 meters gained, a try, 17 tackles, and a breakdown steal. I mean, Semi Kunitani, he's
and
now
a yellow card.
And a yellow card on top of that. I mean, he would be inching in on that 30-point performance, over 25 if he hadn't got that yellow card. But yeah, Semi Kunitani, a guy that I think you're very happy having on your squad right now. Might be even a league winner.
Yep, for sure. Definitely love having him.
Rory Van Voot, 17.6. He was one of Matt's waiver wire pickups a little while back, which if fantasy managers listen to that advice and put him in your lineup, you were had a nice additional 17.6 fantasy points for your squad. I said he was my start of the week from our Next Level Fantasy Rutgers Analytics. If you didn't know that was a thing, it's a thing now. Expanded the team. Our very own Nick Johnson is now part of the squad. Check that out coming up down the line here with in-depth fantasy analytics here from the Fantasy Rutgers. Chicago team for some reason has been allowing the most fantasy points to the nine position. It might have been a cheeky fantasy try by Niles Saunders, by him, that tap and go, but nonetheless he took advantage. 16.8 fantasy points for him, 65 meters gain, a try, and 11 tackles.
Yep, he's looking good. He's looking good. I mean, scrum half two on the year so far, so that's pretty impressive.
Do you want to talk about Luke Cardi, Matt, or should I move on?
The Cardi party.
Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of noise on this Discord.
Yeah. Right?
If you've been on the Discord, hate? You've been seeing a lot of noise slandering Luke Cardi and the fact that he stinks. And hey, I don't even love the guy that much. I don't think he's amazing. Do I think he can get the job done for the Chicago offense with the guys around him? Yes. And I've been preaching that. And clearly he was able to get the job done, not just on the field for Chicago, but also in the fantasy realm. And he played pretty well. And I think he probably silenced a lot of those. I didn't see a lot of chatter about Luke Cardi over the past week after that game. So he definitely silenced some of the haters on that Discord channel.
Now, yeah, Chicago is going on the bye this upcoming week, but I think the interesting question will be, does Luke Cardi deserve a spot on fantasy rosters once he comes back? I don't think he's worth holding in the bye week, but we'll see whether or not he's a conversation that we have in 2 weeks' time. But yes, team of the weeks in this one, though, Semi Kunitani, we mentioned 22.1, team of the week back row, scrum half Niles Saunders, 16.8 for him, team of the week, and then team of the week back three, Nate Oxberger with his 29.5. All right, well, other honors that we got to start dishing out here in this episode, mid-season, halfway through the fantasy MLR season. Why don't we look too far ahead here and try to talk about some guys that we think have been absolutely killer or maybe not so killer here halfway through the year. And we'll start off with our MIDI MVP, our mid-season MVP award. And I think all of us are in consensus here with who this guy is, because he's been pretty electric here 8 weeks through the fantasy season.
Yeah, I mean, look, Reese McDonald, we're talking about only in an eight-week span. It might look different by the end of the season, but according to my book at Betts, he's going to finish as a back 3-1. And he's had an absolute stormer of the first 8 weeks. He's been dying down, coming back to reality in the past couple weeks. I mean, past 1 week, really. But yeah, it really helps when you put 40 points in your first outing to really help you kind of be that MVP. But he has just shown up and nobody has really come close, but we have guys, you know. Yeah, hey, I was going to say, we got guys that are kind of creeping up, breathing down his neck at this point.
That's true.
So we'll have to see. It'll be a tight race for the back 3-1 or for the MVP by the end of the season.
A large part of his production was obviously from that massive first-round game. I think it's still our fantasy scoring high of the year so far with his 40.8 in round one, where he scored 222 meters gain and three tries against the Anthem, right? It was that tune-up game against the Anthem to start off the year, I believe. And I mean, he's looked electric. And again, I think when it comes to the back three position, you're going to have those ups and downs, because you can't expect them to score a try every single match. It's not a coincidence that those his two lowest of the year, round four and round eight, were games that he did not score a try. Almost every other one, except for one, he scored a try in that one that has led to a easy double-digit fantasy point performance for Reese McDonald. Again, on a good squad, a lot of confidence in him. He's our consensus MVP between Matt, myself, and Vandy here halfway through the season. But where we're not so aligned here is our biggest sleeper of the year, where a guy that kind of got overlooked here in our draft season, a guy that we didn't really have on our radar, you know, heading into the year, at least as high as we should have had. Maddie, start with you. Who's your biggest sleeper of the year?
Yeah, I'd be pretty hard pressed if I didn't go with Michael Manson here. I mean, this guy getting picked up and drafted by yours truly, and I'm not sure what happened in other draft, but drafted in what, I think the last round or the second last round, and even dropped after kind of a mediocre first week, and then being suspended and not showing up in the next 2 weeks. So he's clearly shown up in the past 4 weeks, and he's going to be a guy that is going to be competing for that back 3-1 spot. But yeah, wow, do I ever wish that I kept him on my squad.
Yeah, I mean, that might have been the chip on the shoulder that he's needed, because ever since you dropped him, Matt, he scored a try in every single match. So pretty incredible. We've talked about his stats before. My book of bets, I think Manson will finish higher than Reese McDonald at the end of the year. If that's back 3-1 is to be determined. But I do think that Michael Manson will end the year higher
than back
than a Reese McDonald. No, I'm saying, you know, back 3-1A. I'm saying that maybe Reese doesn't finish off as back 3-2. Maybe he's back 3-3 and Michael Manson is back 3-2. We'll see. But that's my book of bets nonetheless. Vandy, though, your sleeper of halfway through the season.
My sleeper was Jade Stigling.
I think Stigling, right?
I've heard both. I've literally heard both. I've heard,
and that's just a MLR thing.
That's the MLR special.
I kept calling him Stigling, and then I think it was last game was Stigling. I'm like, okay.
Because it's funny because when I appeared on the on Matt McCarthy's rugby wrap-up show, MLR Weekly, that was literally a conversation we had about how the people that should be getting these pronunciations, I mean, we're just fantasy guys, right? Like we don't pronunciations aren't our thing, but these play-by-play guys, that's who we turn to.
That's what I mean. For so like we can be out. Anyways, okay, Jade Stigling. I mean, this guy, he was I'm sure in like most leagues, he was a free agent pickup. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere. I was thinking some bigger guys were going to be getting Seattle.
I should have put more money on him.
I'm thinking the same thing. And he's averaging over 1 meter per minute.
Yeah.
He's got 39 tackles, 5 tries. I mean, the guy's playing absolutely electric, playing pretty much every week, getting you minimum almost 10 every single week. Full games. I mean, if that's not a steal at a free agency pickup, I don't know what is.
So you got Reese McDonald as your back three, or your top player of the year so far, 127.4 fantasy. Michael Manson is third, back 3-2 with 111.2 fantasy points. Jade Stigling at number three. And mind you, he's coming off of a week where he didn't appear. He was not in the lineup this week, but you do have to count, take that into account. He has 103 fantasy points, is the back 3-3, and is our fourth best fantasy player. Out of those three guys, who would you guys want the most here moving forward? If you could pick one of these guys to have on your squad for the rest of the fantasy season, who's that guy?
Manson.
I think mine's Manson. See, and that's why I say, the logic is in it. That's why I think he's going to be higher in finishing than either, definitely Reese McDonald at least, but we'll see nonetheless.
Reese McDonald at least, as if like he's an easy one to pass. What are you talking about?
Michael Manson. I just have a lot of confidence.
No, I know, but you think that Michael Manson, you're being like, oh, at least Reese McDonald. Like,
you want me to say,
Reese McDonald
is
something to scoff at.
Fine. I'll say it. Michael Manson. Book it bets back 3-1. Okay. It's Manson versus Reese McDonald, Maddie. We'll put it there. I would take any of these guys. I don't have any of these guys on my squad.
That's 16 points still to make up.
It is true. All right. My sleeper of the year is a guy that Maddie talked about a few weeks ago, but I got to mention Von Isaacs of the Dallas Jackals, kind of on the lower tier there, but he's just a guy that was completely off the radar, hasn't scored less than 11.1 fantasy points in any of the appearances that he's had. Came out as fly half in his first appearance for Dallas, since then been at the fullback position. He kicks as well, has a high of 18.5 fantasy points in round 5. A lot of confidence with Von Isaacs on an emerging Dallas Jackals team. I think that he's going to be a nice fantasy asset here moving forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he looks real good, and he is a hard runner, and he's definitely involved in that offense.
He completely passes the eye test.
All right, and now ending this segment on a more down note here, but biggest bust when it comes to fantasy. There's always these guys that you wish you might have passed up on. Jesus.
Let's go. Maddie's geared up.
The one lines in this show are just never ending for Maddie in this one. But I got to give you props to that one. There's a handful of these guys. I'll start with you, Maddie, on the guy that is on your list. You have him on your squad.
Yep.
Optimism after round 8, but still not as great.
Look, you draft him in the top 3 rounds, and he's played 2 matches so far. That is Gideon Van Wyk with a total of what? 18 points. I believe. Just 18.4 points. Not great. Not great as when you spend that much draft capital. And he is clearly Yeah, just you don't even know what's happening. So we're just hoping to figure it out. Hopefully he has a better second half of the season, but we'll see. I mean, he has to start more than two games. So when let's find out.
When you have Maddie saying just, yeah. Just yeah.
Just yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. What else am I supposed to say, Ryan? Like, I look at all these busts. We're going through all these busts, and all I see is guys that we have in our top fives, guys that we said we're going to do unreal. You know, guys like Balakana, guys like Tusi Tala, guys like Gideon Van Vijk. We're looking at all these guys, JP Duplessis, and look at us go again, messing it all up. Another year, 2 years in a row. Like, I don't know. What else is new?
I think we're getting better. You know what? Yeah? We might not say that after.
Oh yeah, let me know which guy you think we're getting better with.
Well, Vandy, who do you got as your biggest bust here midway through the season?
I got Christian Potovin. I mean, the guy hasn't showed up. Another since top round fiver. One. He got you 19 minutes, 5 meters, 2 tackles for 0.1 fantasy points. He was taken at least in our fantasy league. He was taken in the third round. I would love to sit here and tell you he got injured. He didn't.
No. Nope.
Yeah, I can't believe that we had these two guys in our top fives. Yeah, we're going to get
Name your bus and let's see where he sits in our top five.
We're going to get no kidding.
You guys are getting some strays for this one.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why we're getting that's why they're bust here, you know. But yeah, I had a guy that maybe isn't underperforming as much as those guys that were mentioned here by you, Maddie, and you, Vandy, but still not a guy that's living up to expectations. He was picked within the top five picks. Maddie, you have him on your squad. Yep. You felt the brunt of this. JP Duplessis. I mean, he was one of our best centers heading into this year, if not the best, and he just hasn't performed. Hasn't passed the 70 meters gain mark. He's only had double-digit tackles once, only has one try this season all the way back in round two. His high fantasy point scoring is 11.3 and his only double-digit fantasy point performance this season. You got this whole Iona, Jordan Jackson Hope, and now JP Duplessis in the mix there. I know Jackson Hope is injured, but still hasn't performed and taken advantage with Jackson Hope out. It's tough to be a JP Duplessis owner right now, and you just haven't had that confidence boosting game as of yet halfway through the season.
Just not involved in the offense is what he used to. So yeah, tough to watch, and real tough for me because I have, I guess, two of the three busts that we just listed on my team. In addition to him, I got Paula Balakana on my team, who also was pretty borderline, almost was one of the busts here that were named as well. So, yeah.
And somehow you still ended up beating me in round 8. I don't understand.
Well, I think that says more about you than me.
That's fair enough. But hey, let's get into some guys that you might be able to replace with some of these busts in our weekly waiver wire advice segment here. Let's talk about some guys that you need to be looking at here to either replace any of these guys that just aren't performing here, or we got Chicago and Seattle on by, a lot of notable names, at least from a fantasy perspective on those teams. Some of these guys might be guys that you're looking at to replace players that are on those bye weeks. So let's start talking about it here, and we'll start with the front row. I'll give my first guy is Juan Pablo Zeiss for the Dallas Jackals. Dallas is returning from their bye. Juan Pablo Zeiss has been adequate for the Jackals. He's one of those front row guys we mentioned many times on the show before, where you're just searching for opportunity, and that means minutes played. And Juan Pablo Zeiss typically hits around that 70-minute mark here for the Dallas Jackals. He hovers just around there, has 3 straight games where he's hit above 63 minutes, coming off of round 7 where he had 74. And, you know, won't kill you. He's a good streamer. Wouldn't put any fab on him. But if you have a Dylan Fawcett, if you have a Joe Tafetti, Juan Pablo Zeiss is a guy that you can pick up and put him in there.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me, front row, I think – it's a tough one. And I'm going with some of these flyers of like Ciro Kama as a guy that I look at, and a front rower that comes on as a back row sub, the first back row sub off the bench. That is something that you might want to have a piece of, because you just don't know where he's going to fit in that lineup. And it's that front row eligibility. If he plays in that back row, then you are going to reap the rewards here. And hey, he looked good. He looked good in the last game with 12.1 points in the last week's game. So yeah.
And that's that 3D chess that you got to play, because often it's, you got to take advantage of guys that, you know, at these positions like front row, second row, scrum half, where there really isn't that much fantasy output. If you can find a guy there that kind of quote unquote cheats the system and plays at other positions. We'll allude to one here in just a bit here as one of Matthew's fantasy pickups of this week. There's a lot of advantage to have a guy like that on your squad. Yeah. Shifting on over to second row, my second row pickup of the week is Ricky Rose of the Miami Sharks, 23.9 fantasy points. A lot of hype heading into this season with this player. Big boy. Coming off of his high fantasy point performance of 7 fantasy points in round 8, he started 3 straight matches, 4.6, 4.5, and now 7 fantasy points. Has had 2 out of those 3 games he's passed the 70-minute mark. He played the full 80 back in round 5, double-digit tackles in back-to-back matches, even added a try assist here in round 8. I think this is where we start to climb up the Ricky Rose hype train. You want to hop on it now. I would actually put fab on this guy. I would probably put maybe 5% of your fab here for Ricky Rose if you're a second-row desperate needy team. This might be a guy you kind of pick up, stash, and see what he does here towards regular rest of the season, because with all the projections of this guy making an impact, a highly touted prospect in his first year, I think Ricky Rose could do really, really well here the rest of the season.
Yeah, no Sam Gallagher though.
But hey, still potential. There's potential there that you're buying into.
Yeah, I've got Malcolm May here for my waiver wire pick. I think, and I'm going back to the same thing. It's like Malcolm May is playing both back row and second row. He's still got that second row eligibility. If he ends up playing in the back row, that's going to be a guy that you're going to want to start just for the sake of being able to have an opportunity to get back row points at a second row position. He looked good in the last week. I think he got around like 8.1 fantasy points. So looking good for him. I wouldn't put any fab on him at all, but I think it's just something that you can try to take advantage of heading into the following weeks.
All right, and then moving on to the back row position pickups here. I'm looking at Tavita Taimalau of the San Diego Legion, coming off back-to-back double-digit fantasy games, 13 tackles in round 7, 10 tackles in round 8. There's consistency there. He plays typically above 70 minutes, first try of the season in round 8. I think Tavita Taimalau is a guy that you can definitely stream if you have a Charles Elton, if you have a Reichert Hadding, if you have a Mason Flesch. Put in Tavita Taimalau, and I think you'll be okay here in round 9.
Yeah, and I mean he's a absolutely unit on offense when he carries the ball. So
yeah, and I think there's long term potential there too. Like I think you're okay with having him. I'd put maybe a dollar or two on him, not any big spending. But Tavita Taimalau is an adequate guy to have moving forward here in fantasy.
Yeah, I got a guy that I wanted to put on the waiver wire pickup last week, but the Anthem were on bye. But Shneil Singh, I mean, the guy just has a way and involvement in this offense that looks good. And he's fully involved. I mean, he finds himself with the ball in hand. He's a hard runner. He gets those meters gained. I really like what I see from him, and I think he'll be a good pickup. I wouldn't put fab on him. It doesn't seem like he's necessarily guys are itching to get him off the waiver wire, but yeah, I would definitely pick him up if you need a back row.
All right, 36.1 fantasy points for Shneil Singh on the season so far, 45.5 for Tavita Taimalau. Moving over to the scrum half position, I think Vandy will be happy to hear this name. You mentioned it last week, but I'm going all in here, and I'm making this a reality. But I got to go with Holden Younger. Scrum half position is a dry, barren land if you're playing the game of not having a scrum half. No, this is not, and I'll explain to you why. Because Cam Nordi-Kelametti has not played a full match this season so far. You can expect Holden Younger to get around 20 fantasy points or 20 fantasy points.
I'm mad.
It'd be my dream. 20 fantasy points, but 20 minutes per match here. He's coming back to back games where he has a try assist. You're just buying in on the New England Free Jacks offense, and you're hoping in the 20 minutes that he plays, he's able to get some fantasy points there for you. He's not going to kill you. He, again, just a streaming option. If you have JP Smith, if you have Nick McCarthy or Jason Higgins, this is a guy that you can kind of slot in there, hope to get a couple points from, that you're not absolutely burning it, an empty scrum half position there if you have the roster spot there for a streaming 9. Holden Younger, bring back the chops. Maybe they'll add a couple fantasy points there for you. I know Vandy
minus the chops.
Minus the chops.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I got a nice little cheeky one here. I know that he might not be picked up in other leagues, but in our league, I definitely played the 3D chess to pick him up. Thomas Inciarte, he just picked up scrum half eligibility, and he's got both scrum half and center eligibility. So I think that he's going to find himself at center. He's going to find himself at scrum half. when he's at scrum half, he seems to put up a good amount of points still. Like the last week, he put up 10.1 fantasy points. And then when he's at center, you're getting that kind of opportunity where he's going to have the ball in hand and be having opportunity to carry the ball and be getting center points in that scrum half position. So picking up Inciarte, if he's available, I would definitely kind of put some fab on him just for the fact that you can kind of, like you said, right, cheat the system with him in your lineup.
All right, and then moving on to fly half. Mine's kind of a longer play pick and a perspective pick if you have the roster spot space on your fantasy team. Again, fly half, it's a tough position right now to deal with. You're not finding much on the waiver wire, but this might be a shot that you can take. There's been rumblings that Matt Gateau is back with the San Diego Legion. I know Lincoln McClutchie has been playing well there, but San Diego is coming off of loss. There's a reason why they brought in Matt Gateau. He's a marquee name. I would imagine he would be in the lineup in some shape or form there for the Legion. So pick it up early before it's too late, before the fab goes up. I'm not putting any fab on him this time around. It's just kind of jumping on the wave before it actually hits when you see him in the lineup. If you pick him up this week, see if he's in the lineup for San Diego. If he's not, maybe you drop him if you need something else. But just something maybe as a longer term play if you have the roster space. Hasn't appeared yet in the season so far, but who knows?
Yeah, he's still drunk in Hong Kong. But I've got Matt Antichev for my fly half start or start fly half waiver pickup. What are you laughing at, Andy?
You know, I want to be drunk in Hong Kong with him.
But yeah, I got Matt Antichev, the American, getting his first start this weekend and looking good actually for RCLA against a tough Chicago side. So hopefully we can see him getting more starts moving forward. That'd be good for fantasy, good for US rugby. But yeah, he looks pretty good, and I think he can be a nice little pickup there for a thin fly half position.
And just to backtrack it a little bit, not putting any fab on Makoto. Are you putting any fab on Antichev?
No.
What are you putting fab on? Because I feel like, cause I know you did, for Inciarte.
Well, I didn't put fab. I just picked him up because everybody else is a bunch of dummies. But yeah, no, I mean, I would definitely put fab. I mean, put $3 or $4 on him. Make sure you get him, because if you can end up having this can win you weeks. True. Of having, you know, an extra 5 to 10 points available in that scrum half position.
All right. And now to the center position, I'm going with the guy, Maddie, that you know personally, Seth Purdy of Rugby Football Club Los Angeles.
Let's go.
He's starting to emerge a little bit here, has made some consistent appearances for LA. And he's a young, kind of one of those young guys that has potential. And if he can just find his footing here, maybe you can ride that wave when he starts to pick it up here. Hasn't really busted out with any big time fantasy point performances yet. But again, just back-to-back week starts, is encroaching on the double-digit tackle mark, is just trying to get his way. He had his first 73-minute match there for LA. You're just waiting to see whether or not, again, this is more of an ad if you have the space on your roster to see whether or not you can kind of get him cheap before he actually does break out here. Not putting any fab on Purdy, though.
Yeah, for me, I got William Talatanier. I don't know how the heck he is on waiver wires. It is absolutely ridiculous in our league. But yeah, I mean, he gets 4.8 fantasy points in last week coming off the bench. He looked good when he came on. He was a big part of that offense. So I can see him continuing to be a big part of that offense moving forward. I would definitely put some fab on William Talatena, and yeah, hopefully you can get him and have some depth in that center position.
And I guess that lends itself to the conversation, Maddie, is like, what do you do with guys that you know are marquee names and shouldn't be on the waiver wire, but aren't starting? Like, do you have the confidence to start William Talatena in your lineup, even though he's not starting?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That Old Glory DC lineup last week was stupid. Like, it was dumb. Like, they that isn't their lineup, and they shouldn't continue with that lineup moving forward. And they got spanked for
start Vaca.
Yeah. So like it's,
I will say the only reason, and this is completely off topic here as we go into back three, I will say the only reason why I'm happy to see Facundo Gattis in the lineup instead of Martin Vaca, Vandy, is because Gattis, I didn't know, where's the goggles.
He did look cool.
He looks like those, the rugby glasses. It's pretty jokes. Yeah, it's pretty funny, but all right.
I originally thought he had tape, like a blindfold over his eyes.
I mean, just about.
Yeah.
All right, back three position here. Marcos Young for me of the Miami Sharks, 50.1 fantasy points for him. He just looks fast, and he passed the eye test for me. Again, back three players, especially off the waiver wire, is kind of like a a shot in the dark. He plays the full 80 minutes. He's a consistent player for Miami. He only has one try in the season. I expect that to be a little bit more in the second half here. I'm not putting any money on Marcus Young, but he's a guy that can help you out here if you're looking for a guy to play this week. If you have a Jade Styling, if you had a Tony Pulu, if you had a Nate Oxberger, he's a guy that you could probably pop in your lineup and have a little bit of confidence in to get you some points.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I couldn't put this guy in last week's waiver wire because Dallas was on bye. But Nick Benn, I mean, I like the way that he was involved in that offense. I like the way that he looked in the last game that he played. I think he's going to continue to be involved in that offense and a Dallas offense that you definitely want a piece of. And I would definitely pick him up and put some waiver claims on him. I don't know if I'd put too much fab on him just with how many back threes there are that are kind of similar.
Yeah. And then lastly, for me, defense set piece, you punt that position. I mean, maybe look if Dallas or Carolina is out there on the waiver wire if they were dropped over the bye weeks. But hey, who knows?
Well, for me, I mean, Old Glory DC, if they're in your waiver wire, you got to pick them up. Martin Vaca is going to be back in that starting lineup. He's going to keep putting tries down, and he's going to be giving that set piece a lot of points. So, if Old Glory DC is available, you pick them up. If they're the top, usually you're probably going to be the top guys in the waiver wire in terms of set piece.
All right. And then let's move on here where some of these streaming games or some of these players you can use in these lineups here for the five matches that we have in round nine. Again, Chicago, Seattle on bye. This is actually the last round of byes that every team has at least been on at least one bye. So we're going to start seeing some repeat matches here moving forward here after round nine, halfway through the season. But we start off here with a fun one on Friday. We get to see a prove it game here from the Utah Warriors taking on the Old Glory DC. I will say we've been pretty good on the predictions, boys. I'm 32-9-2. Maddie, you're right behind, 31-10-2. And Vandy, big week. I think you won this past week 27-14-2 with that upset win there with the Utah Warriors. He's getting close. We got to inch him on, you know, it's like having a little kid that just got to boost his confidence.
I'll inch you on, boy.
No. All right. Well, hey, Utah Warriors, let's start it off. Let's see whether or not you have that same confidence that's going to get it back into that realm of the 30 wins here that you guessed correctly. Utah Warriors, Old Glory DC should be an interesting one. Again, I think it's a proven matchup here.
Yeah. All right. No surprise there, pal. No surprise there.
Utah's
going
to welcome. I'm telling you right now,
it's tough.
We win by 14. Book it, bets.
There we go. Hey, it was it's tough though. I mean, like you look at this Utah offense, and to see that and the way that they performed against the San Diego Legion side, to think what they could do against this Old Glory DC side, it's tough to go against Utah here. I'm gonna go Utah as well.
I will go Utah as well in this one. I'm very, very excited to play any if they have that same lineup. In the back three with Mono, McKenney, and Manson. Excited if I have any of those guys. Those guys are locks here. You can probably see them whether or not they're in the starts of the week. I might have McKenney in there if that's the case. All right, all across the board, going Utah here. Shifting on to the next matchup here, the first one of the Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Anthem Rugby Carolina takes on the NOLA Gold at home. Anthem still searching for their very first victory in franchise history. NOLA faltering here. I don't know, boys. I think this might be the week. Call me crazy, but I think I got to go Anthem here in this one. I really want them to see to get their first win, and I think it might be against this NOLA Gold team that is struggling.
No.
Yeah. What were you going to say there, Vandy? What are you going to say? No. I mean, I don't want to see a team go completely defeated this year, and if they're going to do it, they're going to do it this week against NOLA. I'm with you, Ryan. I think Anthem's going to take a dub here. I think they're going to tear up this NOLA defense. And I think NOLA is going to be completely flat come the second half. And the Anthem is just going to absolutely fly.
All right, Vandy, we got two Anthem on the board.
What's up with Fido?
We're going to figure out. But you can mark it here. If Fido is starting, he's going to have a big game in this one.
Yeah.
Maybe even Taniela Filimoni, honestly.
If I knew Fido was playing, if I knew he was playing, I'm going NOLA.
Well, we know what league, what round we live in here, Vandy. That information is
you
not
don't
available
know who's
to
playing.
Us.
No, you know what'll happen? Somehow Fido and Filimoni will be out. I'm going Anthem.
All right. Let's across go. The board so far. All of us on Utah's train. All of us on Anthem's train here. 2 weeks, two matches in.
So boring.
Let's move into the third matchup. Dallas. At the same time, 7:30 p.m.
I'm getting them in for you too.
Dallas Jackals taking on the Miami Sharks away from home. Dallas 3-4. Miami 2-5. Yeah, I'm going Dallas in this one too. Off the bye. They looking good moving forward.
It's scary, man. They're
off the bye. Dallas is hot. Their offense is hot.
Yeah, they are, man.
Hard to go against Dallas here. They look good. And Ryan, being our in-house Dallas Jackals fan and bandwagoner, I know that he went Dallas. But yeah, I'm going to also go Dallas.
Boys, how far have we come? Dallas last year, we were laughing at him. We were doing all this. I know. And now we're like, man, they look so good.
The lore when it comes to Dallas Jackals is kind of funny because you go from – you know, them on the platform, and half their team fell off of it, and they had those injuries, and then they draft Sam Gala last year. They still don't look great, but Gala looks great, and now look at them. They're growing up. Makes me so proud as a possible Dallas Jackals fan. I don't know. We'll see. But all right, across the board here, Dallas Jackals. Fourth match of the weekend, second on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, or I should say third on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Houston Sabercats taking on the San Diego Legion, which should be a fun one.
I think this is spicy.
Sabercats 6-1, Legion 5-2. I think we're going to find out a lot about this Legion side in this matchup here. Should be a good one. This Houston Sabercats team is really hard to bet against. Especially when if they're going to get their big boy lineup in there with Alatimu at 10, Sam Hill, Tuola Tassi, and Kutzer in there.
As long as Vanderskiff and Dominic.
Vanderskiff is at 13. They're getting their butts whooped.
Yeah.
But the San Diego side, like we said, not a championship team right now. This Houston side, the very much the opposite. They are looking like a team that is ready for the playoffs, that is ready to make a run for the championships. I'm going to go Houston here. I think they're going to take a nice little dub here and play a full 80 minutes, unlike the San Diego Legion.
I'm going Houston as well in this one, Vandy.
You have to. I said they're going to be in the Shield this year, man. They're unstoppable.
All right, we're all the same on the board here. Pretty chalk moving in. I know this one's a pretty easy week here. Well, we think that, and then all of a sudden we're going to be hit with a week 9 that's just crazy. With the way this Major League Rugby season has been going, I wouldn't be shocked about it. But last matchup here, RFC Los Angeles taking on the New England Free Jacks, the lone matchup on Sunday, 6:15 Eastern time. I'm starting all my New England Free Jacks, that's for sure. This Los Angeles team's still figuring out. They let up 50 points against Chicago. So
I mean, look, hey, even with our if Los Angeles, whatever the heck their name is, has Co, you're still picking New England Free Jacks. They don't have Co this week. And you know, I'm going with New England Free Jacks, and guys are gonna feast just like the way that Chicago did.
I'm going New England as well.
Easy money. Free Jacks.
All five.
And I'll add a spicy tidbit. 25 points for Reese McDonald.
Okay. All right. I hope I'm not going against Reese McDonald this week. But hey, for how this, again, like how this Major League Rugby season has been going, there's going to be some sort of upset in this one. It's been a fun season too. Like there's just been a whole lot of unexpected, a lot more parity in this year. I feel like it's been, I think, the most exciting MLR season to watch, which bodes well for exciting fantasy seasons as well. We'll see. I'm sure we're going to be wrong in at least one of these. So, well, we'll see how we are. But hey, I'm pretty confident this week in these matchups. But something that Vandy is even more confident in is some of the sports gambling he does on a weekly basis. And
daily basis.
Being a sports betting aficionado in-house here and all the other sports, we said, I think it's time to get Vandy involved here. In the sports betting landscape when it comes to Major League Rugby. We asked the people, we asked the Discord community, where can we get this done? And there is an outlet for Vandy to do that north of the border in Canada. So we got our new segment here on the Fantasy Ruckers Show. We got our own version of Triple D, and that's Devin's Degenerate Dambles. We're going to have this each and every week. We're going to see how Vandy's able to do when he puts his money where his mouth is, puts it on the line here, and sees whether or not he can earn a little bit money and make him feel a little bit better when he's getting his butt kicked with 200 extra points being scored against him each and every week in fantasy world.
Damn right. You know what? You know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm just going to look at the other guy's lineup and be like, all right, book it bets. Let's go.
Yeah. So you got to win one way, right? You either winning in fantasy or you're winning in your degenerate dambles here this season. But this should be fun, Vandy. You excited? You nervous? Or what's the feeling here?
Well, I mean, I'm doing it regardless. So.
That is true.
All I got to say is if you lose money and he took my word, you did it to yourself, man.
That's fair enough. Any early, I know the lines don't come out until closer to the matches here, but I mean, any matchups kind of tickle your fancy here?
Yeah, I got a sweet little parlay. I got a sweet, sweet little tasty parlay here. I'll parlay in the Free Jacks, Houston, and Utah Warriors. Easy.
How do you put Anthem in that and your odds will go up?
You just
that
wait.
Payout will go up.
You just wait until Vanny comes off this first week of just tearing it up and winning so much money. And he thinks that it's a cash cow.
It's a cash cow.
I'm waiting until this next week where he comes in hot in this segment. And he's just like, boys, I found the path to riches. It's Major League Rugby betting.
Hey, all of a sudden my backdrop changes. I'm no longer in a house. It just keeps changing to like more degrade. I'm like, oh, please guys, listen. This is a lock and bet.
Yeah, so we'll see. But this should be fun. I know a whole bunch of our Fantasy Rutgers community takes part in a little bit of sports betting on the side with Major League Rugby. So once again, Vandy, our guinea pig for Fantasy Rugby, is now our guinea pig for betting MLR with our Triple D Devin's Degenerate Dambles. Should be a lot of fun.
Let me pull up here in my car.
No kidding. We're taking you to Gambling Town. Betting Town.
We're taking it to Gambling Town.
Gambling
here
down.
At Devin's Degenerate Dambles.
That's on point. But it should be fun. But hey, fun episode here, boys. Had an exciting week. Gave out some middies. Gave out some Team of the Week honorees. Look forward to round 9. Had some good advice for the people here. Another job well done here on episode 105.
Taking care of business every day.
There you go. All right. All right. For Devin Vandy Vanderpool, for Matt Yee, I'm Ryan Yee. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Fantasy Rutgers Show. Stay tuned, guys.
Love you, Gee.
You've been listening to the Fantasy Rutgers Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, covering everything rugby from the MLR and beyond. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and be sure to tell all your friends. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, connect with us on social media at The Fantasy Rutgers. Till next time, this is The Fantasy Rutgers Show, signing off.